Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th. Hosted by Kevin Hart. The seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady. Live only on Netflix.
Okay, people. It is time to do this post-game show. And this time we got Nick Bondi with me. Because you think I want to do a solo show after that game? No. No chance in hell.
That game. No
chance in hell. Now, before we start, I got this right here. I don't think it's illegal. I don't think I'm, harming the children. But it's pronounced Nuopept or Nuopept.
Yeah.
I think nice. I heard about it on Joe Rogan's podcast. And a homie named Leonard gave it to me at work. Out. Shit's kind of crazy, man. Shit's kind of crazy.
Is it DMT?
It's not
DMT. That's Joe Rogan's thing.
No, it's not DMT, bro. You know what it is? I think it's something that helps your brain out. Do things a little bit differently. Okay, I was reading yesterday after it, and bro, that shit was kind of crazy. Now, I didn't take it for this episode, okay? Yeah. I got Bondi with me. I don't need that much assistance, but we will talk about that game, and we'll also talk about this Brian Burke book because I want the people reading books, okay? Y'all reading so many fucking captions, which is cool, but you might as well use that reading ability of yours to read some books. And like I said, you think I want to talk about that bullshit? There's no chance in hell. No chance in fucking hell, bro. No chance. No chance in hell. Let's do this sipping on a 40. Yeah.
Man, we're going to have a lot of fun tonight in Vancouver, all my real fans.
Here's my question, though. Why are you looking at the absence of JT Miller and not the quote-unquote absence of Elias Pettersson?
He's playing. Like, I know he's playing. Pettersson's in the lineup, man.
I know he's in the lineup, but doesn't it feel as if there's something off, or is it just early in the season?
It's probably a mixture. It's probably a mixture of both. You know what I mean, you think about the early last season, everyone coming to camp thought Michael Ferland would be the guy to play on that top line. That's what he did the first two games, right? He played the first two games with that top line. Didn't work. They put JT Miller on and the rest is history. So that's why I'm thinking JT Miller is maybe the most important guy, because he may be the straw that, you know, stirs the drink, to use another cliche, for that top line.
And you know what? This show is called Sipping on a Fucking 40. It's named after Elias Pettersson, and I have all the faith in the world because he's one of the best players in Canada. He's going to get the job done, but through nine...
Let me ask a question for you, though.
Okay, go.
I tweeted this out. Is it time to push the panic button?
No. Come on, man.
The panic button?
Shut the fuck
Where
up,
Where are
man.
You for the panic button?
Not
space?
Even close,
I'm
man.
I'm not pushing it either. I'm not pushing it either, but I at least know where the panic button is.
You're a fucking right troll, now. Dude.
It's on the counter. It's on the counter. I know in the general area where it is if I need to push it, but I'm not pushing it. Yeah. But the panic button is I know where it is.
Yeah. I'm not even close to that because it's so early in the season. We've been watching sports for what? Almost 20 years? Come on, man.
This is a 56-game season.
I know.
This is not an 82-game season. You got to get off to a good start in a 56-game season. Like, I'm thinking disaster scenario right now. Worst case scenario, Canucks lose 7-9 to start the season. That's probably the season. That's like, you don't have much runway to come back after that. And of course, that's a disaster scenario. I'm not pushing the panic button just yet. But I'm just saying, you know, if they get swept by the Calgary Flames on Monday, then you got to start making it again 2 of 3 against Montreal and 2 of 3 against their next series, what have you.
I'm probably not going to get worried until the 10 or 15 game mark, to be honest. I understand that it's a 56 game schedule, but come on, man. The Vancouver Canucks just spent, what, almost a week in Alberta? You try spending a fucking week in Alberta, okay? Come on, dog. Let's not blame the boys.
Not fun in January.
Too much, okay? Not that much fun in January. It is what it is. It's a bizarre start to the year, but I'm not going to come close to the fucking panic button. But hey, through 9 periods, I'll be honest, I think Brock Besser and Elias Pettersson, the two best forwards on the team right now, will play on that top line. They've only had one good period, and that has to change for everything to change on a team that really doesn't have a lot of depth. Now, again, not close to the panic button. I still believe that this is the best team in Canada, but what we saw today absolutely sucked ass. That was horrible, yo. That was horrible,
special
man.
Special teams especially.
Yo, I watched that game alone. I watched that game alone here. I almost fell asleep, bro. That's why I was doing all the tweeting for Nux Misconduct. I never do that. It was the only thing I could do to entertain myself, man.
Like I said a few minutes ago, can you think of one great 5-on-5 chance the Canucks had in this game tonight? They really did.
No, 100%.
And they didn't really get a really, really great age chance on that 5-on-3. That might have been the TSN turning point right there. If they get a goal on that 5-on-3, that game's probably different, right? They have at least a bit of confidence on the offensive side of the puck.
Look, if they're going to win on Monday, another game where they're not going to have JT Miller in the lineup, another game where there's a possibility where Louis Erickson slots in, Horvat, Pedersen, and Besser are going to have to be 10 times better. Literally 10 times better, because the other guy who's the lead on this team, Quinn Hughes, he's doing everything he can. The dude's doing a lot. He's working his ass off and making plays, but right now, everyone that he gives a puck to just can't do shit. They just seem bored, okay? Again, you try spending a fucking week in Alberta, okay? Come on.
Not that fun.
I've tried doing that, man. That's why I never really go to Alberta. You know, the family's always out there. A lot of Findus. Yes, Findus out in Calgary. I never go. But, hey, it does hurt to lose to a team in Alberta. You're listening to Sipping on a 40, Kyle Bowen. We got Nick Bondi, host of Power of the Towel, on the show as well. And, again, go check out that next episode coming out when? Tuesday?
Tuesday. Tuesday morning.
With who again? With who again?
Carolyn Cameron. Boom. Carolyn Cameron, the host of SportsNet's hockey coverage. She wasn't on the team. She wasn't on there tonight. I guarantee you she'll be there probably on Monday.
100%. And again, they break down Bondi's sports radio debate. If JT Miller,
the most important player on the Canucks.
JT Miller.
It's getting proven right now.
The most important player on the Canucks. The other story here, and I actually mean what I'm about to say. There's no, like, sarcasm here. There's no, I'm not even looking for a good storyline. I just fuck with Jacob Markstrom a lot. What he did with the Canucks for the past two seasons and what he did last year, right after his father died, just going through what he went through, coming back and still playing so sharp, carrying this team to a playoff spot. I'm kind of happy for the dude. I'm not going to lie. Maybe it's 2021. I'm just loving life. I'm not stressing. No panic button in sight. I still think this team, our team, is the best team in Canada. I'm happy for the dude, man. I'm happy for the dude.
Yeah, it's hard not to root for a guy like Jacob Markstrom. I mean, let's go back even further to when he was traded to the Vancouver Canucks. He was part of that Roberto Luongo trade. And if you remember from the day he was drafted, Jacob Markstrom was at one point considered the best goalie non-the NHL, like the best goaltending prospect in the world. Mm-hmm. And it looked at one point he really wasn't going to live up to the hype. And, you know, he comes to Vancouver, builds himself back up, and gets a fat contract. So, yeah, no, it's hard not to root for Jacob Markstrom. It's just, yeah. Man, did you have to get a shout-out against the Canucks? Like, did you really have to do us that? Like, we treated you so well for so many years. We
helped you get that contract.
We have to get a shout-out against us. Let's let in one goal. Just let us feel a bit confident.
Dude, the Canucks.
If it's like a 3-2 game, then maybe we feel a bit better going into the next game.
Dude, he faced 32 shots and all of them are so fucking easy, man. Honestly, hockey goalie could have been a net and got the job done.
I could have been a net.
I feel as if the Canucks were being nice to him. The Canucks were being nice to him, yo. Take it. Have the shutout. Look good.
You saw, I think the broadcast pointed it out at one point, but they all seem to be shooting blocker side. They all seem to be trying to get it past the blocker, and maybe there's a bit of mind games. Maybe he knew, they knew they were going to shoot blocker side and vice versa. So, yeah, no, it was a good game by Markstrom, no doubt. But, yeah, you're right. The Canucks did not make it too difficult.
They're bored. You try spending a week in Alberta, okay? You just try doing it. I'm not, again, looking for that fucking panic button. I'm chilling, man. I'm chilling. My Packers just picked up a dub, dude. You think I'm going to have a bad night tonight? No chance in hell, yo. No chance in hell. I'm two wins away from being a fucking Super Bowl champion, okay? You're listening to Sipping on a 40 again with Kyle Bowen and Nick Bondi. That's enough of the game talk because there's really not a lot to talk about. We could touch on the goaltending a bit. I think Holtby and Demko through three games, they've done what they could. They haven't stole the Canucks points. I don't think Holtby stole the Canucks 2 points in the first game. It's okay, though. I'm not really looking into it yet. Now, let's talk about this book, though, okay? Brian Burke. Right here. The book is called Burke's Law. Bondi did finish this book, and we're going to go through a lot of hockey books this year on Sipping on a 40, and I actually do want Bondi on What the Fuck You Reading when I finish this book, okay? We'll talk about it in depth there, but right now, you might as well tell the hockey listeners about the book. What did you think about the book?
I thought it was pretty good outside some basic fact-checking errors. Like, I think at one point, They said the Canucks made the finals in 1984, which is not true. They made it in 1982. It was just like a couple of mistakes like that. Like I get the publishing industry has been struggling because of the pandemic, but we can't get a basic fact checker to check what year the Canucks made the final. they made it in 1982, right? Not 1984.
Isn't Burke a lawyer too? Motherfucker, gotta have his facts. Man, what else about it though? What was good about it?
It's just cool to see how far back Brian Burke goes in hockey. You know, he played under Lou Lamoriello in college. Like, that's how far back this guy goes in the game. And he was an agent. And from a Canucks fan's perspective, it's pretty cool hearing stories about his tenure with the Canucks. You know, before he became the actual GM, and then, you know, in the late 80s and early 90s. Like, he talks about drafting Pavel Bure. Mm-hmm. He talks about, you know, drafting the Twins. All these cool stuff, like, especially if you're a Canucks fan, and even if you're not a Canucks fan, still cool stories from his time with the Leafs and the Flames, and even with the Ducks.
I know. About
winning the Stanley Cup is a really cool story. It gives a pretty interesting perspective on it, and just how nervous he was, because they beat the Sens in Game 5 that year in 2007. And he's just talking about like how nervous he was before the game.
The Ducks. What a stacked team. And you know what? The internet will tell you that the old white man is not really popular in hockey. You know, nobody wants to support the old white man or whatever. But Brian Burke, especially for the people in Vancouver, like, there's a lot of like history there, you know. And what's the word? Truculence. He's just a polarizing
truculence
dude.
Truculence and pugnacity. That was his like big press conference.
You completely cut out there. Trying to go in on this Brian Burke book. The tie, yo, over the fucking, that was something else, man. Around the neck, stressed out, press conferences, calling people out. That's why I'm really excited to read this book, because I do believe it will be really entertaining. And just by going back and looking at all these hockey books, man, I'm really just tapping into my childhood, because so much has changed in my life. During the last 5 or 6 years, I've gained so many other interests, and for some reason, it always does come back to hockey.
Yeah.
It always comes back to hockey. I always call my people out too, man. I meet so many new people that are born in Canada. They don't give a fuck about hockey. They're not true Canadians, yo. They ain't true Canadians. No chance in hell, yo.
You know what's another good hockey book is Ken Dryden's The Game.
Oh, so good.
That was probably my favorite hockey book I've ever read. Because he's like, you forget, like, Ken Dryden's like a pretty smart dude. Like, he went to law school. Mm-hmm. He became an MP for a while. Like, it's actually like a very well-written book. Mm-hmm. For a hockey player, not to say like all athletes are dumb as bricks or whatever, but like it's actually a very well written book. It's probably well written, more well written than Brian Burke's book, to be honest.
Man, there's so many hockey books. So I have that book, and I enjoyed it a lot. Like I finished like halfway. I went halfway through it, didn't completely finish it, but it was a good read. And I am reading also Harn Narayan Singh. Yes. I got called out by the boss. Okay, I have to say his name right. I'm working on it. Harn Narayan Singh. One Game at a Time. That book is fucking beautiful. Really tapping in to my childhood through that read. So yeah, anyone that's listening to this, go read some fucking books. Gain some peace of mind. Help your spirit out. And honestly speaking, like, think about this, right? There's people in Vancouver right now, or Vancouver Canucks fans, just spending all their time on Twitter right now, which is cool. You know, it's entertaining and whatnot. But what are you going to do spending your time on Twitter after this bullshit? Everything that people are gonna write,
points. Try and get your point across.
The blogs, the Athletics, like, what are you gonna write about? Well, what point? Game 3, the team was absolute trash. It was just, I'm not really digging into it. I'm not really digging into it.
Now, be a bit shorter Athletics and other articles this time around.
That's a fact. Now, before I let you go and just end this show, I'm not sticking around for that long too. I got things to do. I called out a couple people. Okay. I called out a couple people on the last episode, those people talking shit about Connor McDavid, a player that we got to play another 8 times, a player that people had below Elias Pettersson when it came to the best players in Canada. I remember that we went back and forth about this too, and I think you were on the McDavid train, so it's all good there. Don't you blame the city of Vancouver for that one? I'm still pissed off at the people there, man.
No, 100%. And we talked about this with Carolyn Cameron, which in the interview that'll air on Tuesday, he pulled the Michael Jordan, and I took that personally.
Ooh.
Like McDavid definitely has a burner of some sort. He has like the Kevin Durant burner out there.
Doesn't even need a burner. People were tagging this guy.
He sees all the tweets. He sees them all, and he's like, you know what? Fuck this. Like, I'm gonna show out. I'm gonna prove that I'm still the best player in the league.
And look, your Canucks are 1-2. They're 1-2 right now. So if you're listening to this, you better not be
Oilers talking. Oilers are 1-2 as well, though.
It don't matter. We got to play that guy another 8 times. Your Canucks are 1-2, 56-game season. If you talk any more shit about Connor McDavid and you're from this city, get the fuck out of this city. Get the fuck out of this city, man. You know, you ain't doing anyone good, okay?
You're poking the bear, so to say.
Yeah, you don't want to poke that bear. That was Sipping on a 40. Bondi, thanks for saving me some time, okay? Thanks for saving me some time. You the fucking man. Power of the Towel on Tuesday coming out. Caroline Cameron, one of the best broadcasters in Canada. Yeah. Hands down. Yeah. Every broadcast is entertaining, so go check out that episode. And Bondi, man, you're probably one of the best podcasters in the city right now, too. So straight up, man. Straight up. I mean that. So that episode's...
I appreciate you pumping.
Always got him, man. You on the network. Yes, the Nux Misconduct Network. If you're a hockey fan, go find it wherever you stream your hockey podcast. I promise you, your hockey life will get a little bit better. We're not going to change your fucking life, but we'll make it a little bit better. Sipping on a 40 after every single Canucks game. We the fastest uploaded sports podcast in the history of sports, I think. And for that, I'm going to give myself a round of applause, okay? Yeah, hey, I don't know. We haven't chilled in a while, but do you know that I haven't smoked weed all of January? It's only the 16th? Are you serious? I got fucking 16
sober,
days
you're
left.
You're on that sober January train too, huh? A lot of people are on that now.
I got 16 days left, bro. I'm not going to lie. All these days feel long, super long, which is great.
You're a stronger man than I don't think I could do that.
Yeah, I just saw you chugging a beer after that 3-0 defeat. Like, I still got 16 days left. Are you serious, man? I'm gonna make it for sure. Nothing's changed in my life, but damn, 16 more days, man. A nice blunt right now would have been nice, man. No joke. But I guess I'm just stuck with this shit right here.
That's how one of my friends became a vegetarian. Decided to give up meat for a month.
What?
And he just said, "Fuck it, like I don't like it anymore."
Dude, I've been eating so many salads, bro. So I got kind of scared of that. I got kind of scared of that, so I had some KFC yesterday, okay? Because I was like, yo, I don't want to give up meat, dude.
Gotta get that protein. That's all right.
You know what's funny, man? Typical answer from a white dude, okay? You got to get your protein in. You don't got fucking meat. Yeah. Okay, so in this book from Harn Narayan Singh, One Game at a Time, he talks about when his family moved to Brooks, Alberta. The white people there, there's only white people there at the time, late 60s, early 70s, kept asking, like, you know, the parents, like, where do you guys get your protein from? Because that's where all the beef comes from in Brooks, Alberta. Because they didn't know. And their response was like, yo, you guys don't know about lentils? Y'all don't know about chickpeas, okay? Come on, okay, man.
Well, meat tastes better than lentils. That would be mine.
I don't know, man. You got to come over one day and have some dal, man. Come on, man. But I'm on that boat, too. I do think a burger tastes better than that. But, hey, it is what it is. You got to eat what you got to get. But, yo, don't lie to the people, okay? You can get protein from other sources of food, motherfucker. That was an episode of Sipping on a 40. Have a good morning, a good afternoon, a good night. We don't know when you're listening to this, but we appreciate it. Peace.